Hear now these words that come to us from John's Gospel, beginning in the third chapter with verse 14. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that they may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. May God's richest blessings be upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, their teaching and claim upon our lives. We pray now, O God, that you might give us rest from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and may they be acceptable to you. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Invasive species. The Asian tiger mosquitoes, Chinese mitten crabs, Asian emerald ash borers, northern snakeheads, Mexican fruit flies, Asian reticulated pythons. That's only to name a few of the creepy crawly types, let alone the plants. All of these creatures have come in from outside the borders of the United States, invading our land, causing extensive damage to our landscape, our vegetation, and our wildlife. The Chinese mitten crab got a lift on board a ship and started eroding away our riverbanks with its excessive burrowing. Another stowaway is the Asian emerald ash borer that attacks our native ash trees. If you go up north, you'll see those purple plastic things hanging from trees with goo attached to them, smeared on them, because those ash borers love that color purple. The northern snakehead fish was brought into the United States by a man who wanted to use it for some medicinal purposes and in the end decided not to throw it, so he threw it in a Maryland pond and it began to feast on native fish in the Chesapeake Bay area. Invasive species are dangerous because they don't have any natural enemies in our own country. No native predators to control their growth, and that really stinks. Speaking of stinking, how about that latest baby, those brown stink bugs? Anybody got them? Anybody want some more? You'll give them to me free. Every morning when I get in the shower, I look up and I think there's five laying up there. And I keep thinking, well, I'm going to wait. Maybe they're drawing some more in that are up in the attic. We will see. According to the Washington Post, last August, these stink bugs took a $37 million bite out of the mid-Atlantic apples crop in 2010. They also love peaches, grapes, and other fruit, and we well know they have a habit of crawling all over the place on the walls of our homes outside, and they love to find little nooks and crannies, and you wonder just how are they getting in. They seem to be all around, and they are on the move. They have migrated from eastern Pennsylvania to now 32 states, have been spotted as far south as North Carolina. These creatures love to be warm, and their population just might explode when they get into the sunny south. Farmers try to control pests with insecticides. Researchers are looking at the possibility of introducing a non-stinging parasitic wasp to go after the stink bug eggs. But the danger is you have a pest, and so you introduce another insect to take care of that pest, and suddenly now you've got two pests. In the book of Numbers, the people of Israel are on the move, going to the promised land. And as they pass around the land of Edom, they have become impatient, and they speak against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out here in this land out of Egypt in order to die in the wilderness? There is no food. There is no water. We detest this food that we are having to eat. I don't know about you. Manna in the morning, quail in the evening, always provided. My motto is, if I didn't cook it, it tastes great. And suddenly, because of their complaining, they are invaded by a species of poisonous serpents. These creatures bite them, and thousands of Israelites die. Now, unlike, though, the pests that ruin the farmers' crops, God sends these snakes specifically directed at people. And the people are saying, but it's better for us to die in Egypt than here in the desert without food and water. And so God says, okay, I'll put you out of your misery, you faithless, gutless, whining, complaining excuse of a people. Well, they suddenly realize they've misspoke. And so they go running to Moses. We've sinned by speaking against the Lord, speaking against you. Please pray to the Lord that these serpents may be taken away from us. You see, the people of Israel need help from this deadly killer. They don't have a Department of Agriculture or an Environmental Protection Agency to turn to. Instead, they go straight to Moses, who prays on behalf of the people. And God offers Moses a solution to their problem. Make a poisonous serpent and wrap it around a pole. Still the same symbol that's on our medical profession and patches. Just look around. And anyone who looks upon that serpent on a pole after they are bitten by one of these deadly serpents, they will be healed and cured. And lo and behold, it works. Stink bugs and serpents, both are nasty, invasive species that do a lot of harm. And both can be controlled with the right amount of intervention. But when you think about it, what is the true invasive species in this story? Perhaps it's not the poisonous serpent, but instead, perhaps it's the impatience, the complaints, and the anger of the people of Israel. These are the pests that have really infested the Israelites that bring dangerous consequences, and they still continue to affect us today. Impatience. Impatience is considered by some to be a respectable sin. That is, a sin that we will tolerate within ourselves. But impatience is a sign of a bigger problem, namely our own attitude of insisting that others around us conform to our own expectations. That's what got the Israelites into trouble in the first place. They demanded that God and Moses confirm to their expectations of a quick and comfortable journey to the promised land, and that along the way they have an abundance of good food and water. But wait a minute. Aren't people of faith supposed to conform to God's expectations, not the other way around? Impatience can shift our focus away from God and toward ourselves so that we begin to believe that the world owes us a life of safety, comfort, and convenience. And that's a pest that continually can eat us up like a stink bug can attack our fruits. How about complaints? If someone were to ask you the number one sin in the world, what would you say? We'd probably go after what we consider the top three biggies: pride, lust, envy. John Roberts, a pastor in Colorado, considers a top sin to be complaining. One of the problems with the sin of complaining is that it is so universal that many of us aren't even aware that it's a sin. He says everyone complains about stuff all the time. We are surrounded by so much complaining that we hardly notice it, unless, of course, the complaints are directed at ourselves. But God is not oblivious to our complaints. God is so serious about it that God tells the church in the book of Philippians, do everything without complaining or arguing. Pastor Roberts is convinced that complaining is an expression of our pride, a sign that we think that we know better than God. And once again, the Israelites are complaining, we detest this miserable food. They're not actually starving, since God is sending them manna in the wilderness, quail in the evening, but they're just tired of it. Thinking back to Egypt, they remembered feasting upon the food of the land, fresh fish, cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, garlic. And because of their complaining, they get a bite that they're not expecting. And finally, probably one of the most damaging invasive species, anger. All we need to do today with the political field as what it is with the upcoming election and is just to see about all of the anger and insults that are being passed back and forth. The people of Israel should honor God and respect Moses, but instead they went against divine and human leaders and accused them of leading them to their doom. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? After suffering serious casualties, they confess their sins and turn to Moses, admitting that they've sinned by speaking against Moses and God. And so they appeal for Moses to intercede on their behalf to the Almighty God. Impatience, complaints, anger. These sins are as real for us today as they were for the people of Israel then. Sin is a very real and present danger for each and every one of us. We may not talk a lot about it in today's society, but the book of Numbers never lets us forget. With a persistent honesty, Numbers confronts us with our own journeys and blemishes, and we see ourselves within the book. But the good news is, the book of Numbers also shares with us a picture of who God is. Because in it we see that harshness and we see where God is merciful. We see where God is severe and where God is gracious. God flings these killer snakes at the impatient, complaining, angry people. That's part of God's punishment of sin, but God also offers life in the midst of death. You see, God sends a means of healing and salvation by instructing Moses to make a serpent of bronze, put it upon a pole, and that's God's merciful offer of forgiveness and new life. Now, before you say, "Oh, I don't like that story," remember that Jesus Christ knew this story well. And that's why he used it to describe himself in the Gospel of John, saying, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." So high on the cross is the Son of Man, inviting everyone who believes in him to receive forgiveness and eternal life. You see, Jesus is our bronze serpent, our Savior, our guide and friend. And like those poor snake-bitten rebels in the wilderness, we only need to look up and we will have life. The good news for us today is that God has chosen to provide a means of salvation for us through Jesus Christ. We are forgiven when we turn to Christ and express and confess our sins and are promised new life when we trust in him. But still, every day we must battle those invasive pests of impatience, complaints, and anger. Like stink bugs, they'll look for nooks and crannies within our daily lives and living to weasel their way in. And we need to be on guard as individuals and as a church to swat those pests when they appear. What's interesting about invasive species is they will not survive if you don't give them anything to eat. So when you're feeling impatient, take a deep breath. When you want to complain, remind yourself of an unexpected blessing. And when you feel a rush of anger, remember. Remember that everyone, even your worst enemy, is a child of God. Starve those species and let them invade somewhere else. Let's pray. Lord God, for the teachings in the scriptures this day, we are grateful. We pray that your Spirit might truly invade each and every one of us, that we might live for you every single day. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.